greet you, all brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to continue where I left off, and we're busy with who remembers? Who remembers where I preached last time? John 17. John 17, the high priestly prayer. John 17. And the Lord is speaking to us from the prayer of Jesus. John chapter 17. And last time I read all the way through from verse 1 to verse 26. But today we are only reading from verse 9 to verse 19. And what is happening in John 17? Jesus prays for his glorification. And so we looked at it and we wondered, what kind of a man is he who asks the Father to glorify him, that he, Jesus, may glorify the Father? So we looked at that first section where he prays for himself, and today we're going to look at Jesus who then prays for his disciples, but again under the umbrella theme for his glorification. He prays for his disciples then, at that time, that Christ would still be glorified. John 17, verse 9 to 19. Hear now the word of God. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This far we read the word of God. Amen. Protection has always been necessary. But I believe we're living in a world where we cannot overemphasize the need for protection, the need for safety, the need for someone guarding you. When I moved to Mooifontein, coming from a small town, Potchefstroom, where everything is a bit slow and it's relatively safe compared to Johannesburg. So when I moved to Mooifontein from Potchefstroom, the church had already organized a house for me, and they said, "Pastor, that area in Mooifontein, it is safe because there is visibility, the police are watching, there is some security." Then this pastor added, "But it's not safe enough." We are people that are concerned, and really we think about our physical protection. And it's normal. We are concerned of our physical protection. But how often are we concerned of our spiritual concern, our protection? And how often do we, in fact, even pray for it? How often do you pray for your spiritual protection? Scripture tells us that Jesus' disciples were usually troubled. And so they needed protection. And again, we learn from the scriptures that even Jesus was troubled at many times, and especially a night before he was prosecuted. The night before he was betrayed, he was greatly troubled. And so what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. And the section of this prayer, we find Jesus praying that the Father must protect his disciples. We can ask this question. Yes, Jesus is about to return to God, his Father. What was his ministry all about? Was it to protect his followers physically? No, part of it, yes. Part of it, yes. But mainly Jesus' ministry to his disciples is described in terms of revealing God the Father to his followers. Revealing God's name to them, the followers. According to John's Gospel, Jesus is not only the revealer of the name of his Father to his followers, but according to God, to John's Gospel, Jesus is also the Redeemer. He is both Revealer and Redeemer. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Bread of Life who gives his flesh and blood for the life of the world. He is the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He is both revealer and redeemer. What is revealed? Listen to his report. He's about to go back to God, his Father. Yes, he came to this world, and he gives a report, and that is verse 6 to 9. What is revealed? Jesus is both revealer and redeemer. From the prayer, we're able to hear him. What is revealed? Which makes redemption possible? What is revealed in this part of Jesus' prayer? Jesus reports back to his Father concerning his disciples. Listen to what he says. He says, they obeyed the Father's word. He comes to reveal the name of God, his Father. And he says, they obeyed. I've done that, they obeyed. Look at verse 6. They know that everything the Father has given Jesus comes from the Father. They've come to know that because Christ has revealed that to us. Verse 7. They have accepted the words the Father has given Jesus. Verse 8. Christ has come to reveal God. And Jesus is saying, I've done the work. They believed that the Father has sent Jesus. According to verse 9. He reveals the Father, he reveals his name, and it has power to redeem. Jesus' work of revealing and redeeming is intertwined in John's gospel. You cannot, divorce one from the other. At the cross, for instance, Jesus provided not only redemption, but also revealed God's love for mankind. And again, you find it in John. He's emphasizing the point Jesus is both revealer and redeemer. And so at the cross, what we see? Jesus provided not only redemption, but he also reveals to the world the Father's love for the world. John 3:16. According to John, revelation, which we can call knowledge, revelation, which we can call information, according to John, revelation in itself is not redemption. But redemption is also a revelation. It is the revelation of God's love for the world. So as we are looking at this prayer of Jesus, Jesus' prayer of glorification, and in the first sermon we looked at how he prays for himself, that the Father must glorify the Son for the Son to glorify the Father. And now we're looking at how Jesus, again, is praying for his glorification, but then he's praying for his disciples. How is he glorified in that? And so we ask a question, who is he praying for? Jesus' prayer of glorification, who is he praying for? What does he pray for? And then we'll look at how is that realized? Who is he praying for? What is he praying for? How is that realized? Who is Jesus praying for this time? At first we heard he prayed for himself. He prayed to God his Father for himself. This time, Jesus' prayer of glorification can be divided in three main sections. He prays for himself, he prays for his immediate disciples, and later on he prays for the later disciples. In this section, verse 6 to 19, Jesus is particularly praying for his immediate disciples. Those people that he was with, the people that were following Jesus, he prays for them. Jesus is praying for those he has revealed the name of God. He prays for those whom the Father has given to him out of the world. Yes, at one point they were of this world, but Christ says, I'm praying for those you have given to me. Verse 6. Yes, they were in the world, but not anymore. He's praying for them. He is praying for those who hear and keep the word of God. Who know that everything Jesus has belongs to the Father. He has received from his Father, whom he has given eternal life. Those are the people Christ is praying for this time. those who have come to hear from him, those Christ has given eternal life. And we discussed what eternal life is according to this prayer. Jesus says eternal life is that they should know the only true God and Jesus Christ. So he's praying for those he has given eternal life. He's praying for those he has come to minister to. He's praying for those he has come to reveal the Father. He is praying for those in whom he is glorified. Who is Christ praying for? He is praying for those in whom he, Jesus, is glorified. Look at verse 10. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Yes, we are still looking at Jesus' prayer of glorification. And now it comes to a section where he's praying for the people that were following him. And as he's praying for them, which is a good thing, but it's ultimately for his glory. I'm glorified in them. Remember, this is Jesus' prayer of self-glorification. He is glorified in the people he came to die for. So we know who Jesus is praying for. What does he pray for? While Jesus was in the world with his followers, he protected them. And protection is important. It was important then. It is important today. Protection. And so before Christ would depart, now the sense into which he was protecting his disciples. Now that he is about to physically depart from them, he says, and listen to what he says in verse 11. And that's our focus verse. He says, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. Keep them. That's a key word. Keep them. The NIV translates that with, protect them by the power of your name. Keep them. Protect them. The ministry of Jesus was centered on revealing the name of God, which has power to protect those who believe. But one wonders, protection from what? Holy Father, keep them. Holy Father, protect them. From what? Well, Jesus says, if you're reading verse 15, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Protect them from evil. Not everyone believed in Jesus, and consequently, he was persecuted. It's the more reason why, you know, they troubled him. They took him to the cross. They did not believe in his teaching. They rejected him, and they crucified him. They stoned him dead. Because not everyone believed in his teaching. Not everyone will believe in his followers and their teaching. And so what is going to happen? They will also be persecuted. Hence the need for protection. And Christ is praying for them. Holy Father, protect them. Keep them in your name. Christ was troubled. His disciples will also be troubled. And so he prays for them. Jesus prays for their protection from the evil one. In this world, the righteous will be troubled, will be persecuted for their faith. I think Dr. Charles also preached on that. The righteous trouble, persecuted for their faith. And if you're reading the Bible, you know, it's almost in all the pages. Look at the apostles. Look at the faithful men, how they were troubled. Jesus says, yes, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Concerning this protection, in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The need for protection. And concerning protection, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica, and listen to what he says to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Finally, brothers, Paul says, pray for us that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. These wicked and evil men are in the world. But pray for us that we may be delivered, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. What is he going to do? He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The Apostle Paul, like any other believer in Jesus, was troubled, was persecuted, was opposed. Hence needed deliverance from the wicked and evil men. And so Paul is encouraging Christians in Thessalonica that evil men attack faithful men, but the Lord is faithful in how he guards and protects them against these evil men. In one of our discussions in mentorship, we're talking about calling. God calls you. You feel this internal calling. But then this sister says, why there's so much opposition? Yes, you are called. You want to serve the Lord. But this opposition begins in your family. It's there in your church. Yes, the righteous will be troubled. They'll be opposed for their faith. Your own family will oppose you for what you believe, for the Christ you serve, for the Christ you believe in. They'll oppose you. But listen to this encouragement from the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says, yes, that's what we see. There are wicked men in this world. Not everyone believes in the gospel Christ has come to, you know, give us. In the name of God, Christ has come to reveal to us. Not everyone believes in that. And so they will oppose those who believe in the name of God, who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe that Christ is the sent one from God, his Father. They will oppose you. And Paul says, but the Lord is faithful. He will guard you. He will protect you. He will fight the battle for you. So there we see the need for protection, because we live in a world where, besides just the protection that we think about, police visibility and the police van in your neighborhood, which is good, but it can't protect you spiritually, that police van in your neighborhood. And like this pastor said, it's never safe enough. Yes, to some level, it may look safe, but, well, when drama wants to happen, when crime wants to happen, it does happen. At least in the 6 years that I've stayed in my place, I've never experienced that, but it can happen at any time. And so we are so concerned with the physical protection, but how often do we pray for the spiritual protection, which Christ is here praying for? Yes, physical, but also spiritual protection. But what is the reason for Jesus' first petition, protection? He's praying for protection. What is the reason for that? Listen to the reasons that he gives in verse 11. He himself is going away, and physically is departing from his disciples. He will no longer be able to strengthen and to protect his disciples. physically is departing from them. And based on that reason, he said, Father, please protect them in your name. And secondly, he gives another reason, verse 16. Disciples like Jesus do not belong to this world. Yes, they are in the world, these disciples, but they don't belong here. And for the mere fact that they don't belong here, they will be opposed. It explains why the opposition in your family, because you believe. It explains why the opposition in your church, and some of you have to struggle before you can get that recommendation letter from your pastor. Opposition. Oh, but Christ prayed for you. Protect them. Protect them. Followers of Jesus are opposed because they do not belong to the world. Hence, they need protection. You can expect opposition. Unless you are just exactly like them in the world, they won't oppose you. But if you be different from them, they will definitely oppose you for what you believe, for what you teach, for what you hold true. Evil people persecuted Jesus, and they will definitely persecute those who follow Jesus. Even today, they will do the same to you and I when you faithfully follow Jesus, believe in him, trust in him, and teach what he teaches in the scriptures. Dear friends, Jesus never promised his disciples a life of trouble-free. But Jesus was troubled himself, and his disciples were troubled. We prayed for their protection. Jesus did not promise us a life free of trouble. Yet he comforted his followers. Listen to John 16, verse 33. And he said, it's big comfort, it's great comfort. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. But that's a reality in the world. You will be opposed. You have tribulations. But the contrast of that, but, and you must know this big but, take heart. I have overcome the world, says Jesus. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Knowing that Jesus has defeated, has overcome the world, the evil ones who are in the world, knowing that, and knowing that Jesus prays for our protection, must give us a peace of mind and a sense of protection, really. Yes, troubles will be there, but Jesus prays for our protection. Whenever trouble arises, it shouldn't be shocking to a child of God. Jesus prays for our protection. Now, this protection Jesus is praying for, how will it be realized? How? We know who he's praying for, his followers. We know what he's praying for, protection. How is it going to be realized? At least in two ways that I'll be able to explain now, and that is in their unity and in their sanctification. According to Jesus, God's work of protection will be realized mainly through believers' unity. If God protects them, there will be one unity and their sanctification in the truth. And this truth, Christ says, it's your word. Your word is true. Let's look at unity, which others would even call second petition. If the followers of Jesus are not protected, they will obviously be divided. If they are not protected by God the Father, they will be divided. It is correctly said, united we stand, divided we fall. Jesus wants his disciples to remain standing, not to fall. Jesus wants his disciples to continue with ministry and never to fall. And for them to be able to do that, God must protect them. that they be one, that they may remain standing, that they may continue ministering, revealing Christ to the world. Unity is therefore of crucial importance among believers. But as Christ is talking about this oneness, this unity, what is the reason? Or the ground? The reason Jesus gives for this petition is also the standard he establishes, that all of them may be one. Father, listen to verse 21, just as you are in me and I am in you. So Christ is saying, look at our oneness. Protect them that they also may be one. Jesus is here revealing that he is one with the Father. And when his disciples are protected, they will be one. When we are one, we have one common goal. When we are one. And in our context, when we are one and with one common goal, we shall have this one common goal to study the scriptures, for it's our spiritual nutrition to enjoy worshiping God in and through Jesus Christ. To reach out to others so that they too would worship God with us. When we are one, we shall have this one common goal. But that is because God is protecting us. And the second reason Jesus says is, verse 23, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved as you have loved them. Verse 21, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let the world see and know the love that you have for me. Hence you sent me. Let them be united. In other words, Jesus is saying, protect them so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Protect the followers, those who have eternal life. Protect. They are in the world. It's a dangerous world, both physically and spiritually. Protect them that the unbelievers would, yes, no, that you sent me. And they also, the followers, they know that Christ comes to the Father. They know that he's going to protect them. When he's about to leave, they are worried, but he says, well, take heart. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you, comfort you. The eternal Son of God was sent by his Father to come and minister to us. His ministry was both about revealing God the Father and to redeem the believers, those who are going to believe. It is of crucial importance, therefore, that we believe in Jesus, that we obey Jesus, that we trust him. In the midst of our troubles, that we trust Jesus, that we look to Jesus, that we remember Jesus' prayers for us. Was Jesus' prayer answered? Of course, yes, it was. Listen to his report in verse 6 to verse 9. It was answered prayer. The work that he came to do, it's accomplished. It was answered, for it is revealed in Matthew 27:54 that through the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of revealing the name of God which serves, the world learns that he is indeed the Son of God. That's what we read, Matthew 27:54. It was accomplished. It was answered. For we learn also from the scriptures that God sent him to the world, and those who believe in Christ have come to believe that he comes from his Father, specifically to come and minister to us and to serve us. that God loves the followers of Jesus even as he loves his son. At least if you're a child of God, you know this truth, that God loves me even as he loves his son Jesus. And so the question is, do you believe that Jesus' death on the cross was actually your death? You are the one who was supposed to hang there to pay for your sins, but Christ had to become a substitute. That through his death, the wrath of God is satisfied. Do you believe that? Dear friends, the wrath of God still remains if you don't trust and obey Jesus. If you don't believe that he's the one who comes from the Father to come and reveal and redeem. If you don't believe in that, the sad news for you is that the wrath of God remains. But the good news is that there is forgiveness of sin to all those who accept Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, who believe that Jesus was sent to reveal and to redeem us. To reveal and to redeem us. But also protection is realized in sanctification. Look at verse 7. Let us call this third petition, verse 7. When the followers of Jesus are not protected by the Father, their sanctification is also impossible. If they are not protected by the Father. But when the followers of Jesus are protected by the Father, their sanctification is possible. To this effect, Jesus says, listen to verse 17 to 19. Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The truth. God's word is true. And according to Jesus, in this prayer, is what sanctifies. My heart breaks when you go to these churches where the singing is so powerful, the music is so loud, and everything, oh, it's wonderful, it's powerful, and everyone is singing and dancing, and everyone is happy. It's time of praise and worship, so it is called. And when the preacher man, when it's time for preaching, when the man of God stands up to come to the pulpit to preach, that's when now everyone thinks it's time to go to the loo, it's time to check their phones, who WhatsApp me, it's time to do this and that, it's time to start yawning and dozing. When it's time to listen from the word that sanctifies us. And we find that in the body. You say you went to church. What is to sanctify? Oh, it can mean to make holy, to purify, or to clean. At least one meaning, to make holy or to purify. Listen to John 15:3. Jesus says, already you are clean. How? Already you are sanctified. How, Jesus, are we clean? He says, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remember I said Jesus came, his ministry, revealing God and redeeming us. And here he's saying, already you are clean. How? The word of God I've spoken to you. The word of truth. And this word got power. Change you. When Jesus was still with his disciples, he spoke the word of God, and each word was true. Every word Christ spoke was true. In fact, he says, for this reason I came into the world. To do what? He says, to bear witness to the truth. Each word he spoke was true. and His word sanctifies. But that word to sanctify, it also means to set apart. To set apart. In verse 19 of chapter 17, Jesus says, "For them," His disciples, "I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified." What does he mean? Jesus does not sanctify himself in the sense of making himself more holy. I mean, he knew no sin. Rather, what he means here is that he's focused on doing his Father's will, set apart to doing his Father's will. He says, "For this reason I sanctify myself, that they should be truly sanctified." He does this for the sake of his disciples, that they too may be truly sanctified. That is, set apart for God. None of us, poor sinners, can ever be sanctified, set apart for God, apart from the Lord Jesus, who makes that possible. I can't do it by myself. And we see that's the more reason why Christ comes, to reveal the Father, to speak these words, which are true, which sanctify. By sanctifying himself, Jesus perfectly obeyed his Father and therefore went to the cross to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. The sad news is that without the cross, we all remain condemned with a sin, hence condemned by the Holy God, without the work of Christ and the transaction that happened on the cross. The good news is that Jesus was sanctified himself so that we can truly be sanctified, made holy because of his holiness, and set apart for God. In conclusion, Jesus continues to speak to his disciples, you and I, who read this prayer. And what do we learn? He prays for our protection. That if we be protected, we would be one. We would be sanctified. And Jesus in verse 10, he says, he's glorified in that. In the Father providing protection for you and I. In the Father making us one as Christ and God the Father is one. In the Father making us holy. Christ is glorified in that. As we live in this world, be reminded, yes, protection is necessary. But we are never protected enough until God protects us. You can think about the protection in your neighborhood, those alarm systems, the insurance, whatever that you use to protect yourself. It's not enough. The only true protection, I believe, in which Christ is praying for here, is the protection that comes from the Father. And when the Father protects us, we become one. We share in his oneness. He sanctifies us. And even as we live in this world full of troubles and tribulations, we can rest assured that we have a Savior who prays for our protection. Many sermons have been preached. Come to Jesus and you live a life free of troubles, you will thrive. Not even any disease can touch you. Isn't it that you have now come to Christ? Sounds nice, right? No, Jesus himself doesn't promise that. He promises to protect us. And it's his prayer to his Father that the Father would protect us in this world we're living in, where there are evil men, people that are going to oppose you for your faith. Yes, Christ prays for that, that we would be protected. Take heart and remember that he has overcome the world. So when you look at those oppositions, it is not time for you to be discouraged. Yes, problems will come. Troubling moments are going to come in your time, but it's not time for you to give up. It is time for you to pray and to trust the prayer of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we say thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, revealer and redeemer. Through him, we have reconciliation with you. And we say thank you for the work that is done, coming to this world to reveal who you are and the love that you have for us and the salvation that he makes possible. God, we pray that you may strengthen us. Yes, even as we live in this world, yet not of this world, when troubles come, remind us again and again that you are there for us. To protect us, you are there for us. To make us stand up, you are there for us. To sanctify us. Please, God Almighty, it's our prayer that challenges of this world, troubles that will arise, that these things may never take us away from you. And we can be comforted, for Christ our Redeemer also prays for us. And we believe in this prayer that his Father answers prayer, and he will provide the necessary protection, both physically and spiritually, that he will make us of one mind as believers, and that he will sanctify us for the glory of King Jesus. In his name alone we have prayed. Amen.